Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hello, friend. This is Evangelist Joey Kelly. I'd like to thank you for listening to the program today. But before we get into the message, there's a couple of things I'd like to talk to you about. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through 3 says this: "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and Paul came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." You know that I rarely ask for donations on this program, and then only for missions work. But today I'm somewhat embarrassed to have to come to you. But the fact is, I have to make a living, and I have to pay my radio bill. Now, I'm not asking for donations. Let me say that again. I am not asking for a donation. But I do need your help in a way that will cost you nothing more than your normal expenses. As we just read, Paul was a tent maker and supported himself at times by practicing his trade. Like I said, I'm a computer guy. That's what I do for a living. I own Kellynet Computer Services in Jefferson Parish here in Metairie. And what I'm asking is, if your computer breaks, if something's wrong with it, or you need to upgrade it, or perhaps you need to purchase a new one, if you're like most people, you get the phone book, open the yellow pages, go down the list, and call one at random. But I'd ask, instead of calling someone else, that you'd consider calling me. My phone number is 504-239-6550. I have a commercial rate and a residential rate. My commercial rate is normally $100 an hour, and my residential, $75 an hour. But since the very beginning, when I started my company 5 years ago, I made it a point to charge half of that rate to churches. And I've done work for several churches in the area. If you call and say, "Brother Kelly, I heard you on the radio. I have a problem with my computer. Can you look at it?" Then I will give you the rate that I charge churches, $50 an hour. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody to work on your computer for $50, except perhaps a trainee or something. Again, my number is 504-239-6550, and I thank you very much for considering me. But the second thing that I wanted to mention to you is this. I've been on this station, WSHL, for 2.5 years, and I've heard from quite a few of my listeners. And I'm humbled by the fact that many people look forward to hearing my program every week. The Lord has been very kind to me, and He's blessed my efforts to serve Him, and I'm truly thankful to Him for that. I believe the Lord has been moving upon my heart for the last several months to extend the ministry and to start an outreach of the radio program by holding weekly evangelistic services. These services would be on Sunday night. As you know, many churches have stopped holding services on Sunday evening. But I think that some folks would enjoy attending church on Sunday night if something was available. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you want revival and a move of God in your heart, then these services might just be what you've been looking for. As I said, these services are an outreach of the radio ministry. And every time I open the program, I quote from Jeremiah, where he talks about the old paths. So these meetings will be known as Old Paths Tabernacle. Now, I'm still looking for a place to meet. I'm still working out the details, but I'll keep you posted. And again, thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for praying for me, and may the Lord bless you. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. "And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come to take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word. Lord, give us understanding. And Father, I pray for myself that you would give me strength, that you would give me unction, that you would give me help from above to give what I believe you've shown me to the people. And Lord, I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, the credit. For Lord, you're worthy, and I am certainly not. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I began to take a look at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the loaves and fishes. And I said that these miracles are recorded in all 4 Gospels. In Matthew chapter 14, 15, and 16, we find the feeding of the 5,000 and also a second event, a second miracle, the feeding of the 4,000. In Mark chapter 6 through chapter 8, we find the feeding of the 5,000 and then the 4,000. In Luke chapter 9, we see just the first event, the feeding of the 5,000. In John chapter 6, we see mainly the feeding of the 5,000, and there's just a small reference to the second event. Each of these tellings, each of these accounts, gives a little bit more information about the miracles that were done. Each tells about the events from a different perspective. And in order to understand these miracles, really, we need to look at all 4 accounts. And there's something here that I believe that God wants us to see. I said a couple of weeks ago that there's a burden upon my heart that the people of God would come to see him in a clearer way, and that in order to see him more clearly, there has to be a forsaking of self. There has to be a denial of self. That we should take up our cross, Jesus said, and follow him. We see in these events that we're studying a great miracle, actually more than one miracle, 2 or 3, in fact. But a great miracle nonetheless, and the people were convinced that he, Jesus, was the Messiah. They knew the law of Moses. They were faithful Jews. All of the men had been bar mitzvahed. They had to memorize certain passages of the Old Testament, of the law in particular. They knew the story of Moses when he parted the Red Sea. They knew all of the stories because this is their history. The great miracles that we find in the Old Testament, we think of them as stories, but the Jews, their forefathers, saw the great hand of God. And one of the things that God did for his people when they had come out of Egypt was feed them. They were in the desert, and we've seen pictures of the war in Iraq and what have you. The place is sand. It's a desert. There's no water, there are no trees, there's no grass. There's no nothing. But God led his people out of Egypt, and he gave them shade, the cloud by day. He gave them light, the light of the gospel by night, the pillar of fire by night. He gave them water to drink, and we've studied that extensively. We said that rock was Christ, the rock that followed them around the desert. And as we trust in the Lord today as Christians, He gives us water to drink in our soul. He satisfies our thirst. But as I said, the people listening to Christ knew their history. They knew that God rained bread from heaven down to the people in the desert every morning. They were satisfied. They were cared for. They knew that this miracle that Jesus did symbolized what happened in the Old Testament, or was another miracle like it, or something. But they knew that he was from God. And it says in the book of John that they hurried up and said, "Let's make this man Jesus a king. He's obviously from God. He's that prophet that Moses talked about. We don't like the Romans. We don't like Herod. We don't like the taxes we have to pay. Let's make him a king." And the last thing that Jesus wanted to do was be made a king. Because his mission, the first time he came, was to die on the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We must come the way of the cross. And if you've listened to me for some time, you know I've harped on that pretty hard. You know I've preached that again and again and again. That we must come to the cross. That we must trust in the cross. We must depend upon the cross. This is a must. It's good to see the miracles. It's good to be fed manna from heaven. It's good for all of the things that God does for us. But the most important thing is that Christ went to the cross for us. And oftentimes we lose sight of that. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, many Christians, they fail to see the forest for the trees. And that's what this story is about, the feeding of the multitudes, the 5,000 and then the 4,000, and the events between. Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 men. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. "And they all did eat, and were all filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." This is another great miracle. Jesus walking in the water, and then Peter in his footsteps. Jesus, the Son of God, we understand that he is able to do these things. But Peter, until his faith flagged, also walked on the water. And when they both got back into the ship, it says the wind ceased. In one of the other passages in one of the other books, it says immediately they were on the other side. They were toiling all night trying to get to the other side. They were stuck in the storm. But immediately they were on the other side. And again, you have to read all of the different passages to get the full picture of what happened. Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In this chapter, the focus is only on what Peter did. But in the other accounts, we see the others addressed as well. Peter had his eyes on Christ walking on the water. But then he began to doubt. But there's a greater message here, a greater message for the disciples, and a greater message for us today. Immediately after the 5,000 were fed, it says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. We saw in John chapter 6, verse 14, when those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto the mountain himself alone. So reading the different accounts, we see different perspectives, and we get the whole picture. Mark doesn't tell us about the reaction of the people. Matthew doesn't mention the people wanting to make him king, nor does Luke. Only John gives this bit of information. But looking at the disciples and also the multitude, we see each of these groups, the disciples and the multitude, they had an understanding. They thought they understood one thing. The multitude thought that this is the prophet, and that is correct. Jesus is the prophet that Moses prophesied about, but it wasn't his time to be king. It was his time to go to the cross. In Mark chapter 8, this is after the feeding of the 4,000, the second feeding event. Mark chapter 8, verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, or along the way, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. That's what Herod thought. But some said, Elias or Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. And Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, you're the Messiah. And then a very strange thing. It says that Jesus charged them that they should tell no man of him. Peter had a revelation from God that Jesus was the Messiah. In one place it says that no man had told Peter this, but that God from heaven did. But then he says, don't tell anybody about it. Again, very strange. You would think that Jesus would want people to know who he was. Many times he would heal people in the Gospels and then say, look, don't go tell anybody. Very strange. But this next verse, verse 31, and he began to teach them, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Then it says, and Peter took him, and began to rebuke him. But it says, Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. Remember, we're studying the spirit and the flesh. And verse 34, And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I ask that you forgive my voice. I seem to be going a little hoarse as I preach this. But we see the disciples, Peter rebuking Christ because he prophesied that he would have to go to the cross. And again, if Christ had not died on the cross, no one could be saved. Jesus came to die. The way of the cross is something that we should follow. We're to take up ours and follow him, it says. Denial of self. Forsaking of self. I preached this many times. Then we have the multitudes. They had heard his teaching. They were all amazed at the teaching, it says many, many times. Then Christ performs a great miracle that is obviously identified with Moses and the manna from heaven. And they correctly identified Christ as being the prophet that Moses talked about. They correctly identified him as being the King of the Jews. Jesus is the King of the Jews. It was nailed on his cross, the sign. And one day when he comes back, he will come not as a suffering servant, but as the Son of David, the King. They were right. He is the King. He will set up his kingdom. But when he came the first time, it wasn't to be a king. It was to be a servant. The disciples in the boat, in the ship, trying to get across, stuck in a storm. Jesus walks past, walking on the water, and it amazes them that he's doing so. But in one place, he mentions the fact that in the boat are the 12 baskets full of the remnants from the feeding of the 5,000. A great miracle. A miraculous event. He says, get in the boat now, go across the lake. Maybe they ate a little bit on the way, I don't know, but there was some baskets of the fragments that remained. And they're in this storm, and they're kind of worried, what have you. And they forget the miracle. They're tripping over the baskets of the loaves and fishes. The evidence of the great miracle that happened just a few hours before. But they don't understand. They don't see. A little while later, the next day, a few weeks, a month, I don't know exactly. But it says in chapter 16 of Matthew, Verse 5, And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Again they forget the great miracle. By this time Jesus had fed the 5,000 and again the 4,000. He had taken just a small amount of food and magnified it and multiplied it to feed thousands of people. And he did this twice. They forgot that they were supposed to go to the store or however they get food. They forgot along their journey to get food for later. He makes a comment that's not related, talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, the false doctrine of the Pharisees. and they misunderstand and get it wrong. And what God is saying here, and the reason why I'm bringing these passages to you, is to say exactly that. Too often we miss what God is saying. We think we understand, but we don't. We go to church, we know that they take an offering at a certain time. I mentioned this a couple of times ago. We go to church, we sing a couple of hymns, they take an offering, however a particular church decides to conduct their services. And the people end up seeing only that. They see what their church does, they see what their denomination does, but they miss the living Lord. They miss the truth of Scripture, and they miss the way of the cross. And as I've said, my burden is to see people's eyes opened and their hearts opened. And it's my prayer that Christians' hearts, though they be hard, that through this program and through my ministry, God would help them, that they would soften their hearts. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.